Are You Playing?
Hello and welcome to What the Bleep Are You Playing? A podcast where we normally play a game and tell you why the bleep we played it. But today is a scary episode. I am Spooky Sean. This is Terror Thomas and Malicious Mason. And we're going to do a list of our top five Halloween media we consume.
This is our top five shit we like around Halloween.
Yeah.
With special guest Vincent Price. Oh, wait.
Oh, I'm sad now.
Wait, is he actually dead?
Yeah, he's
dead. Oh, shit.
He's been dead for a while, brother.
I was
just
making the joke that he wasn't here.
He's been dead for a while, brother.
Whoops. Anyways.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Unintentionally dark jokes aside. Yes, top five.
And Mason's like, oh, now I'm sad.
Top five things we like around Halloween time.
Yep. And so, I think this was just a fun little idea that I had one day. I was like, you know, this would be kind of fun just to give a little list. We're still in between season three and season four, and so having kind of something to fill the time. And it's spooky season, and we did great pumpkin last year around spooky time. So you know,
we
might as well try something to come out so everyone can be like, oh, look, our favorite podcast has a spooky episode. So it's our top five list. There's no real rules of the list. It can be any media, book, comic,
it's
TV show, movie,
stuff we like to consume,
YouTube video, record. I don't care. Something that you like to do on Halloween that is media related. I will go ahead and lead off this list. I'll be the starter on this one since it's my list my idea that I picked. And my number five is actually not something that's a tradition yet, but I think it's going to be a tradition for me to watch this movie. I only first watched it recently, and it is funny that Mason would say Vincent Price, but it is House on Haunted Hill, which is a 1959 movie with Vincent Price, where basically invites people to his house to stay there, and you'll win a lot of money, and it's all a plot basically to murder his wife, who is also trying to murder him.
With the best credit of all time, Skeleton
as himself. Yep.
That movie's hilarious.
Nobody toes the line between spooky and goofy like Vincent Price did. He is so good at being creepy, sometimes in the goofiest situations. And this is one that I just discovered this year, and it's one I'm going to revisit a lot. And I have a feeling it's going to be one of those Halloween traditions that is going to start for a long time. And as my daughter gets older, I feel like I will want to show her it. So,
Dad, what the fuck is this?
The times I've shown her like older movies, she goes, okay, but why?
You know, it's funny. You said the title, and I was like, I don't know if I've ever heard of this. I wonder why. And then you go, it's 1959, and I was like, that's why.
It's really good. It's really fun. I think you would still find some enjoyment, even if you don't like good movies, Mason.
It's like a reboot, isn't there? It's like a 90s reboot.
I feel like there was there is also, they have colorized it. There is a colorized version of the movie
as
well.
Which is what I watched.
Yeah, I watched it in black and white, but there is a colorized version as well that they've made. But yeah, I've started off this list, I think, strong.
Vincent Price transcends years.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that is something that like was kind of like something I hadn't watched a lot of was Vincent Price until the last couple of years. And I was like, oh, I've been missing out. Vincent Price is the man. Mm-hmm. So there's my number five. Mason, what is your number five?
My number five. So I've definitely made it clear to these guys. I don't know if I've ever made it clear in recording. I don't really watch horror movies that much.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't really enjoy the feeling of being scared. It's just not a feeling I really enjoy that much. It doesn't mean I completely avoid horror movies altogether. Because my favorite genre of horror, and really the only sort of the only genre of horror that I can stomach, is the slasher movie. And I feel like my list would be incomplete if I didn't include the movie that basically invented the modern slasher, and that is Halloween. That is 1978's original John Carpenter Halloween.
In which John Carpenter wrote a little ditty that he will play over and over and over this movie because he wants you to know how amazing it is.
He's going to keep collecting that check for the rest of his fucking life.
Yep.
Listen, if they like, there are worse ditties he could have.
Oh no! I mean, the Halloween. It's so good. I think that's one of the things that's
used effectively too.
It is very used effectively. It's something like this year. I watched a bunch of the Friday the 13th movies this year, and while it does have its iconic its score had there, it's nowhere near what the Halloween soundtrack would do for that score, for that killing music, you know, and so. The two of those going head to head a lot of times over the years, but
like I said, I felt like my list would be incomplete if I didn't include the film that invented my favorite. Well, not it didn't invent it because there were like slasher movies kind of before, like Psycho existed before, which is kind of the progenitor of this. But like this, but like I said, it invented more of the modern, the masked slasher.
I think in a lot of ways, Halloween invented kind of what we saw. What would perfect kind of what we would know would become there would be Friday the 13th, because that's where we get a lot of the.
Where we get the hulking beast, just basically invincible.
The invincibility that we get. We also get a lot of the, you know, the sexuality, you know, death rules that would be seen throughout the slasher. That then, you know, would be. Changed when Predator came out, and is all those kind of like rules, but turned on its head. And then, you know, things like Wes Craven would do with Nightmare on Elm Street, and then later Scream, where he kind of pokes at the rules. But yeah, I think that's a good addition to the list there, Mason.
Thank you.
All right, Thomas, what do you got at your number five?
Well, seeing as this is a video game podcast, I figured I might as well have one video game on my damn list. And it's at number five. I'm a little bit of a bitch boy when it comes to horror video games. I can watch horror movies, and if they creep, they can creep me out, but I'll still probably be fine. But the minute I'm in control, I am the biggest bitch. So it takes a lot for me to like really get into a horror game. So it makes sense that my favorite horror game is only kind of a horror game. I really love The Sinking City.
I don't know if I've heard of that.
The Sinking City is by Frogwares, the same developer who did the Sherlock Holmes games, and it is essentially their take on the Cthulhu mythos.
Such a cool game. Yeah,
now it's clicking. Yes, you said Cthulhu, and then it
clicked on. It's like, I only remember things when Cthulhu is involved.
But yeah, it's... For one thing, I love detective stuff, but I like the idea of this detective being way in over his head and being all surrounded by this cosmic horror. I love cosmic horror. There's not a lot of representation of it on my list, but I love cosmic horror, and it's something that this is kind of what kickstarted it for me. My love of cosmic horror was this game, as well as Emesis Blue. That's not on my list.
Yeah. Interesting. A thing that, you know, over on our Patreon, where we have a very, very long breakdown coming soon.
4 hours-ish talking about that damn
movie. Very long breakdown. Coming soon.
Yeah.
I'm picking VeggieTales next time.
No, okay. So, you know, look, we've got around here with some movies. Thomas now picks a video game. And to my number four, I'm going to go to the land of TV. And this is one that maybe isn't as much of a tradition now as it was as a kid, but I didn't watch a lot of scarier stuff as a kid. Like, that was just nothing. I remember when I was like 6th or 7th grade, our Halloween movies were Ghostbusters and Eight-Legged Freaks.
Oh, wow.
You know, not the pinnacles of horror. But when I was young, I got really into Star Trek. And there's an episode in the original Star Trek called Cat's Paw. And it's basically where they go down to a planet, and there's like these witches and ghosts and this magic stuff happening on, and they're having to try to figure what it is. And especially at the beginning, when three ghosts appear, it's actually, especially, you know, it's terrifying. Something that actually frightened me as a kid. Like, I was, you know, 7 or 8, and my room was in a basement, and I was consistently scared of these ghosts floating down the stairs. I would feel like I was seeing them, and I would have to have a nightlight for a little while.
Wow.
It was a very effective episode. You know, there's a black cat and a lot of other things in it, and it plays on a lot of kind of, like, the scary things that we found, especially in the, like, the 50s and 60s, you know, that era of media that would do witches and witchcraft. But it's an episode that I would watch quite often on Halloween. I haven't in a few years, but a few years back, I did watch it again on Halloween. And while it is a OG Star Trek episode, which means Well, they had the budget of $12.
Wow.
And they spent it on the casting.
And it is still very effective in its TV scares. Mm. So my number four, Star Trek Catspaw.
Very interesting.
All right, Mason. Bring out the number four.
Hey, speaking of TV, mine is also going into the realm of TV. I really like when TV shows that you wouldn't expect to go in a scary direction do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the TV episode that I chose does this in probably the only way that this show could do it is where it's basically a horror parody, but also in a lot of ways it's pretty effective horror, at least in my opinion. And I think to the audience watching it at the time that this show was geared towards, but also it would be a little bit effective on them. And it is the 17th episode of the fifth season of Boy Meets World, the episode called And Then There Was Sean.
I remember that episode. It is a very good and effective. It is a very effective. Boy Meets World did a lot of like horror one-offs in the seasons in their Halloween episodes. Early season they had where Corey thought he was a werewolf.
I do remember
that episode. But yeah, that is a very effective, you know, sitcom horror episode.
They also did a crossover, I believe, with Sabrina.
They did. They did.
Which was, yeah, that was, but this, but And Then There Was Sean is my favorite, like, their take on a horror trope. It's another slasher parody type thing, but it's done really well. And I would talk about it more in details, but I think it might be one that I use for a watching later.
Okay.
So I don't know if I want, have you seen it?
I've seen one episode of Boy Meets World.
Okay, well, there's
it
my
It was answer. Like when I was, like, I don't remember a damn thing about Boy Meets World.
I don't really want to go into like too much details about it because I think I want to save it for like a watching episode later. Two things I will mention about it. One, Jennifer Love Hewitt? Is her name?
I think yeah, she is that the one she guest starred on?
Yeah, she guest starred in it, doing like a play on her character from I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then also there's a weird amount of South Park references in this episode.
Oh. Yeah, I've at least seen those clips.
There's a weird amount of South Park, which for a show of this type is like, wow. They're kind of pushing it a little bit, but
yeah. All right. I like it. I did not expect Boy Meets World to be on any list, so you know what? There's a first for everything.
Yes, there is.
All right, Thomas.
If you haven't seen this episode, go out and watch it, even if you have no idea what Boy Meets World is.
How do you follow up Boy Meets World?
Well, I don't watch TV, so.
What's TV?
I don't watch shows that often.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I needed, like, at least some kind of legit horror movie on my list, because I do at least usually try and watch one around Halloween. But I was debating between two. My personal favorite horror movie, and one that I'm like, no, but that just screams Halloween to me. Not necessarily scary, but it just screams Halloween. Spoilers. Even though my favorite horror movie is on my list, I'm deciding at this point to go with the Halloween one. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter Jackson's The Frighteners.
Yep. Dude, people forget how much Peter Jackson was in the horror.
He did some weird ass shit.
You know, he's the one, he thought up the idea of taking a lawnmower to zombies.
Yeah, he did bring
it. Before he became the Lord of the Rings whore.
And now the, like, and war the documentary guy.
Yeah, he did a Beatles documentary.
And he did a Beatles, right? Yeah, I forgot about that.
He did a World War II documentary. Yeah, Peter Jackson's a weird dude. But yeah.
I wouldn't say weird. I'd say eclectic.
He showed up on Muppets Mayhem.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah. But yeah, The Frightener, if you're curious, my favorite horror movie is Misery. And that is what's on my list. But thinking about it now, I'm like, no, The Frighteners just screams Halloween to me.
Yeah.
Is it necessarily scary? I don't think so. There's a couple bits that are pretty frightening. If you don't know what The Frighteners is, Michael J. Fox is this psychic guy who sees tally marks on people's head or numbers. And when he sees those numbers, that means those people are going to die. So he has to solve the mystery of who's killing these people. It's a ghost, but whose ghost is it, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a movie that I first saw not too long ago, like a couple years ago, And I just fell in love. Mm-hmm. Like, it is one of the, this is my kind of movie. This is my kind of Halloween movie where it is rated R. It's not afraid to push it, but it's also goofy as hell.
Interesting.
So you're talking right there, Peter Jackson horror.
Yeah.
Rated R and goofy as hell. Yep.
And also it helps that Michael J. Fox is just so charismatic in what he does. He plays this sort of scumbag with a heart of gold really well, which is not the typical role you think of him for.
No, not at all.
But he's a really compelling character in that.
Mm-hmm.
Admittedly, it ends a little weakly in my opinion, but I can look past it because the rest of the movie's so good.
Nice.
Interesting. I haven't seen that. I think I might.
It's on something. I don't know.
Yo, you can find it somewhere. Isn't it?
Through our first, each of us, our first two is on our list. This is very interesting. Not sure what not at all what I expected, and I'm kind of enjoying this here. Well, I'm going to go a little more cliche with If Anybody Knows Me at my number three. And I'm going to a video game.
What Wishbone episode.
And that is the Resident Evil franchise. For quite a while, it was Resident Evil 4 that I would play every October, but it has now been different Resident Evil games. But there, I always will find time in October to boot up one of the Resident Evils and play and have fun and scare myself and shoot zombies and just enjoy it. Whether that's in 4 or 5 or the original or 8, who knows? But I always try to boot up the Resident Evil franchise at least once and play at least one of the games for a little while throughout Halloween. It is a tradition unlike any other because it is my favorite horror survival franchise.
That is, you know, that is absolute. There's a reason that Resident Evil has lasted for as long as it has. And has been, you know.
It has lasted as long as it has because I've bought Resident Evil 4 so many different times.
It's not like that's the hardest game in the world to buy.
Every time they release it, I buy another copy of it. And I'm like, what? Well, okay, sure, fine. Oh, they released it again. All right. Credit card, swipe.
Going to get eggs and oh, it's on my fridge.
Yeah, just going to pick up some milk. I'll pick up a copy of Resident Evil 4 while I'm there. Why not?
It's between that and Final Fantasy X with how many times I've purchased that game.
Jesus. That's pretty funny.
But yeah, Resident Evil is just always going to be one of those that I boot up. And it is a good one to boot up while not necessarily as always thought about around Halloween. Not even like the movies, when they did the movies came out in like January, February. I think one or two came out in September.
I was going to say, I think the
August.
I think the Welcome to Raccoon City was the closest to Halloween.
Yeah, they don't usually aren't particularly October movies. So
yeah,
but I do love Resident Evil, so it had to be on my list. All right, Mason, what's your number three?
So it's interesting at number five that you brought up the musical theme from Halloween when I brought up that movie, because I'm going into music for this entry. It's interesting that like of all the holidays, Christmas is the one that gets the most attention from like mainstream pop music. Like everybody wants to jump on Christmas music, and other holidays don't really get a lot of that love. But there is one Halloween song though, and I think it's the reason that we haven't gotten another one, because it's the ultimate Halloween song, and there could never be another. I'm talking Michael Jackson's Thriller.
In the Monster Mash.
I was going to be like, spooky, scary skeletons?
I did forget about both of those, but yes.
Thriller's go.
I went with Thriller.
Thriller's phenomenal.
Thriller is
arguably, it's my second favorite Michael Jackson song.
Nothing evokes Halloween to me more than like the, like just hearing that
there's
intro.
An entirely created dances up that are now still done around it.
Vincent Price being part of the song.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is. Yeah.
Any song that ends on Vincent Price's laugh is doing something.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's true. And then like that's all that without even mentioning the music video, which basically started the music video.
It is. Yeah. You know, Michael Jackson. I don't think it's forgotten how big he was, but more and more generations ago,
because people kind of like forget, I guess, but people will like eventually, you know, they'll see a they'll see a video of him at a concert, and he'll look at a woman and she'll faint. And it's like, he'll look at a man and he'll faint. And it's like,
how big Michael Jackson
was. The man was a fucking religious figure.
Yeah. Honestly,
I'm surprised you didn't go with his video game entry.
Moonwalker. I forgot about Moonwalker. That was indeed a thing. That was also a movie.
Yep.
A weird move.
But cool. I'm glad that there was a music entry on this list. I'm actually very happy that we've kind of got branched out into different media for all around on this. So,
mm-hmm.
All right, Thomas, number three.
So my list is kind of bullshit because even though I try to have some Halloween traditions.
Us having bullshit lists? We never do that.
I try to have Halloween traditions, but I get busy. My mind wanders off. And sometimes I won't.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always one that I always watch on Halloween. It's been something I've watched on Halloween for not as long as I can remember. Fuck no. It's been like just, I want to say like the past 5 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus is good.
I knew you were going to say
Hocus that. Pocus is good.
I knew you were going to say that because I saw your Letterboxd review of it. That's just this movie. This is a movie tradition. This is a Halloween tradition.
I mean, yeah. Because it is.
It's a very good movie. It in a lot of ways, like there are those like cult Halloween movies that a lot of people like that are kind of like the quote unquote Disney or, you know, meant younger, you know, I know that Beetlejuice isn't Disney, but like, you know, that are meant that a lot of those, like, you know, teenage girls fell in love with a lot of them.
The PG Halloween.
Mm-hmm. There Hocus Pocus among those is probably my favorite of that group. Like, I love Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus is great.
We're
brought down a little bit by the existence of the sequel.
About the sequel.
The sequel
doesn't fucking matter.
What sequel? Fair.
But there you go. That's all we have to say.
Oh, they're gonna make. Oh, good. I hope the sequel's good. They're gonna make one.
Sean, sit down.
All right, look. You can play dumb, but not that dumb.
Sean, sit down.
They did what?
Go to sleep. Go to bed, Sean.
I'm gonna go back and not exist.
I have yet to see the sequel, and to be frank, I don't give a
fuck.
I don't give a fuck,
to be honest.
Mm-hmm. But no, the original is great. It's got so many cool Halloween like aesthetics that like we still think about. You know, the use of the black cat, the use of zombies, the use of the eye on the book. Like, it's all.
Yeah, the movie's really good. Mm-hmm. It's just as simple as that. It's a very fun time.
While being creepy.
Yeah.
Also, the best use of Put a Spell on You. Like, that song is...
It's a very good song.
Like, and that song's been around for quite a while. That, and, you know, by famous people singing it. And yet, that version is kind of the one that I always kind of look to, is with the Sanderson sisters singing it.
Yeah. Also, let's be clear. That movie would not be nearly as good if the Sanderson sisters didn't go all...
No,
in.
They
Bette Midler going to do it.
Yeah, I understand that.
So we need to be, all right, it's like, no, it's Hocus Pocus. You don't need to go that hard. She was like, no, I have to.
It
and
is.
The movie's better off because of it.
It's a great movie, and I'm glad that it is included on this list. Good choice, Thomas.
Yay.
All righty. Well, my number two is a bit anticlimactic because Mason has already put it on his list.
Oh, no.
My favorite slasher, my boy Michael Myers. Halloween.
Are you saying specifically the
original? I am saying the original of Halloween, the first movie. I mean, I will watch all the franchise. I've watched a lot of, you know, there, but the only of the Halloween movies that I make sure I watch every year is the original one. John Carpenter's Halloween. We used to have it play almost every year around that time at the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it would play in every, trying to catch it. It is, in my opinion, the perfect slasher.
So funny. I didn't mention this in my entry, but when I mentioned Halloween, because I forgot about it until just now. Like, one of the last years that I was in college, my advisor, he did like a watch party for Halloween, and a bunch of his students went to that, and we were all watching it as a class. And one of my classmates stepped out to go to the bathroom, and then another one went up to the side of the door and waited for them, and went back in, and she goes. Ah, it scared the crap out of her. The funniest thing.
I think what Halloween did is it is such an incredibly simple film that is just filmmaking masterpiece. Like, John Carpenter was so good at what he did.
Absolutely.
Halloween is arguably the most important slasher.
It is.
Yes. Psycho was the first. Halloween is arguably the most important.
Psycho walked so Halloween could run.
And as I mentioned, I've watched the Friday the 13th movies, a lot of them this year. Like, that was the one I wanted to watch. I'd only seen a couple of them. And I do think, actually, for the first, you know, five or six Friday the 13th movies, they are actually more higher quality for the first five or six, whereas Halloween is like this elite one, and then it's like, ooh. actually, funny, John Carpenter actually had a Letterboxd review of Halloween 2 that basically was like, I wrote this in a night, I knew it was bad, I hoped the director could save it, I was wrong. But the franchise is still, like, I enjoy the franchise in a, like, look, I'm watching these two-star movies, and I'm having fun watching a lot of them. They get way too convoluted, but the original Halloween is simple. You know very little about Michael Myers. You know, honestly, you know very little about Laurie Strode in general. Like, it is not here to tell you, like, give you lots of exposition, lots of things. It's basically, hey, this guy is creepily following people around and murdering, and it is effective at doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so there. My number two, Halloween.
The only other Halloween movie I've seen is Halloween Ends. I didn't watch the other two in the reboot.
Mason watched the beginning.
You watched the third of a fucking trilogy.
I got invited to the screening.
A third of the ending trilogy of the third time they rebooted the franchise.
That's what I was going to say. So you watch the Halloween franchise the same way that I watch all the other Jaws movies.
The Halloween timeline is always really funny because you have the first movie, which is technically canon in three different timelines. But then it goes 1 through 6 is one timeline. 1 and then H2O and Resurrection is another timeline. And then 1,
Halloween
Kills, Halloween Ends is the third timeline.
And somehow all of them have failed in different ways.
In different ways. It's a very hard franchise to recapture, whereas I think, like, Friday the 13th is just like, hey, just make Jason kill some people, and you're like, that works. Kill Halloween some sometimes, somehow, doesn't always work.
Kill some people in New York, kill some people in space, kill some people with Freddy Krueger, you know, you shake it up a little
bit. Go to hell.
Yeah, exactly.
No, he never. Jason's barely in that fucking movie.
Yeah. But also in a way, like, Halloween was its own thing, whereas Friday the 13th, the original one, is kind of a quasi take on Psycho, just do it reversing the roles.
Yeah.
Finishing that, I go, they're just kind of doing Psycho, but slightly different. Like, okay, I'm interested. That's an interesting take on it. Anyway, there's my filmmaker look back on things. Mason, what's your number two?
My number two. So, I brought up how the slasher genre is really the only genre of horror that I can stomach watching, and I brought up how Halloween was basically the start of that of the modern slasher. But again, I feel like this list would be empty if I didn't include my favorite slasher franchise. And that is Scream.
Yeah, that's not a surprise.
Not a surprise. I honestly am surprised it's not one. Like, legitimately, I thought it was going to be one.
Listen, my one and two are basically neck and neck for, like, how passionate I am about both of them. So,
don't get me wrong. I love the Scream franchise. I love the Scream franchise. I watched all of them in, like, a weekend earlier this year.
I remember that.
And yeah. I love the franchise. I think... Like, 3 is probably the weakest of the franchise, but even then, I was like, I really enjoy all these movies.
Even then, 3 is just, like, so nuts.
That being said, I can see why they're your favorite, because they are very meta. And if you want a true traditional slasher, they are a meta take on the slasher franchise.
I can, when I'm watching them, especially, like, later on in the franchise, like, with the first couple, it's harder to do, but, like, further on in the franchise, you can sort of separate, like, the meta-ness from, like, it being a movie, you know what I mean? Like, it's easier to do than, like, with the, just as a random example, Deadpool and Wolverine, like, where it's so intertwined that it's, like, hard to divorce the two, but, like, I can do that, especially, like, further down the franchise.
Don't get me wrong, I love Scream. I absolutely love the franchise. I don't love how it kind of warped the slasher franchise that we don't have very many true slashers coming anymore since Scream.
That's true, but you also do get, like, a lot of interesting, like, different takes on, like, slasher, like, Freaky, for example. And, like, Bodies, 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 which I almost had on my list, but I took it off at, like, the last minute. Where they're doing, like, a bunch of, like interesting different things to sort of...
But also, like, I just want my traditional, a bunch of people out of camp, and hear a slasher dude killing all of them.
Fair point. That's a fair point.
That has kind of died, which I get, that franchise is kind of, that element of that, the slasher genre has kind of died a bit. There have been a few resurrections of it. There was a movie, Hellfest, came out a few years ago that was just a slasher at a, like, traveling Halloween
carnival,
which was actually quite good. The, I guess I wouldn't really call the collection or the collector slashers,
not really.
But they are kind of that what I like in a slasher villain is kind of those movies. But a lot of the traditional 70s and 80s slasher died when Scream became so big.
I can see where you're coming from, but mm-hmm. I also,
and again, I love Scream. I just wish I could have Scream and my classic slasher at the same time, which I just don't really have.
They kind of did to Scream, kind of did to slashers what The Dark Knight did to Batman, in a way. What The Dark Knight franchise did to Batman.
Yeah, maybe I can see it. I can see it. I don't think that's a one-to-one necessarily, but I understand where you're going with that.
Right.
You've never seen Scream.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because I have a little grudge against it because it fucking killed slashers, in my opinion. You know that whole rant Sean went on? Yeah, mine's that, but angrier.
Yeah.
Because I don't like it when the mask... I don't like it when the killer's just some fucknut.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it when the killer's just some guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool when it's done in, like, certain ways. Like, the Town That Feared Sundown, the original one from mm-hmm. the 70s. Boring movie, I'll admit it. But it does the just a guy's a slasher, but it still makes him a haunting figure. Because you never find out who he is. And that is scarier to me
That's what Hellfest did, and it's really, like, it does that it's just a guy, but it when it ends, you don't know who the killer is. You just know that some dude decided one night, I'm gonna go kill some teens. And that's how the movie ends, and it's like, it is a haunting ending that I'm just like, what?
I do see where this is turning into like a Scream debate all of a sudden. But I don't know. I like the I prefer the idea of like the killer being like that they could be anybody because that feels more realistically scary to me.
But I'm not going.
That's lame as fuck. That is so fucking lame. I'm sorry. Like, okay, sorry. I'm not a big fan because Ghostface is a fucking clod. He's a fucking moron. Every time I see Ghostface, it's like, oh my god, he's so scary. I could kick this guy in the nuts and snap his fucking neck. Are you fucking serious? God, he's fucking lame. Anyway.
Thomas's anger aside, again, I do love Scream. I love a lot of it. But one of the things that I love about why my favorite slasher is Michael Myers, but also I've gained a huge respect for Jason Voorhees in this year. A lot of it is there is a godlike ability to them that exists that, you know, especially in like Halloween 4 or 5, there's no reason Michael Myers should be alive, but he is, and he's tormenting and killing people. In Friday the 13th, I want to say it's the third one. I think it's the third one that I'm thinking about. It's like, why is he alive? How is he doing this? It doesn't matter, though. He is tormenting these teens. He is going around, and there is like a, you can't kill this. It is just evil. Yeah. That I really appreciate.
Which I do. This turning into a real slasher debate, Mason was right. I understand the appeal of mm-hmm. you know, just a normal guy. I understand the appeal. I just think it's lame. But mm-hmm. that is entirely a personal thing. I'm sure that if I eventually watch Scream, it will probably turn my view around, but...
I think you would like the original Scream, but you probably won't get as much in the franchise as say like as I again. I love Scream. I just want both. I want to be able to watch
that In a Violent Nature movie came out, which mm-hmm. apparently did some good shit, but I haven't seen it myself. So.
I
need to stop getting angry.
You're fine. I knew what Mason was gonna pick Scream, and I knew I was like, oh, I know what Thomas's opinions are on this.
I was gonna try not to. I was genuinely just gonna say I've never seen Scream and move on.
Then this unyielding.
I was genuinely gonna do that, and then I'm just like, no, fuck it, we're here.
In the interest of moving this podcast forward,
let's Thomas, what's your number two? And Thomas is like, and Scream is my number.
And another thing.
We all like a good Scoobert Dubert.
I knew you were going to have some Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
That's why I ended up knocking him off. He was in my honorable mentions, but.
And to be honest, you know, I could put any Scooby-Doo movie I like on this list.
Mm-hmm.
So, in reality, this second spot is just Scooby-Doo. Mm-hmm. And I just watch Scooby-Doo. You know, whether that be the live-action movie, whether that be some episodes of the series, whether that be
a pup named Scooby-Doo.
Whether that be a pup named Scooby-Doo. Whether that be Scooby-Doo Camp Scare, which is really underrated. I went with Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island because it's the best one.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was going to say one of the two 90s ones. Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island or Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost.
Zombie Island is the best one.
We did it on our podcast. Go over to our Patreon.
Very early.
That was our fourth.
I was going to say, that was like really early.
But, you know, you could plug any Scooby-Doo in and watch it. Maybe don't do the 80s. They're not bad. They're just very weird.
What the fuck, Vincent Price?
They're very weird.
Again, he keeps showing up.
The three Scooby-Doo 80s movies that all came out kind of in a row, which was Reluctant Werewolf.
Let's talk about 13 Ghosts.
Oh, yeah. Even there's I'm talking about the three 80s movies.
There's Boo Brothers, Reluctant Werewolf, and Ghoul School, which I like Ghoul School, but it's not good.
I like all of them. They're all solid movies. I enjoy them. They're just all very weird. And like the 90s rebooting back to kind of the more horror aesthetic to it was exactly what it needed. The franchise. And that's why, you said, Zombie Island is great.
Mm-hmm. Zombie Island is peak Scooby-Doo.
Have you seen Return to Zombie Island yet?
Nope.
Ah.
I did not hear great things, so I have not heard it. I have not tried it yet, but any Scooby-Doo.
If you're noticing a pattern on this list, it's Thomas avoids shit that he hears he won't like.
Scoobert-Doo is definitely deserving to be on any list.
Scoobert-Doo.
At any of them. I said he was on my honorable mentions. We'll take a few minutes here to do some honorable mentions. I also had, I had Zombie Island. I did think about putting the Friday the 13th movies on my list, but I was like, I couldn't pin down one of them. And also I just started really watching them.
I did as well. Personally, Jason Voorhees is my mm-hmm. favorite slasher. If you can't tell from my rant I went on, my favorite is Part 6. So it's usually Part 4 and Part 6 is what people.
Mm-hmm. Know. I said, Part 2, 3, and 4 were all really good. 5 is where it started to dip down a bit.
I was like, oh no.
that's where it hit. Which again, Halloween started like Part 2 is like, that's okay. I actually really like Part 3 of Halloween 3. But then Halloween 4, 5, and 6 are, oh!
Well, Part 3 is weird because Part 3 is when
Season of the Witch, yeah.
John Carpenter is finally like, okay, fuck Michael Myers. I want to do my own thing. And the audience is like, fuck your own thing. I want Michael Myers. Right.
He's like, but I want to have the toy maker that is going to try to kill children with his masks and Stonehenge is involved. And the movie is weird and I love it. But also, it's really weird and I can see why audiences were like, okay, so, ha?
Again, I know this has been tangent the episode for couple things. That is one of the darkest endings I've ever seen in a horror movie. Do you know the ending of Halloween Part 3?
I do not.
Okay, so I'm going to spoil it a little bit. The ending of Halloween Part 3, there's this TV program that when you have these silver shamrock masks on, if you watch the TV program, it turns your head to bugs and kills you.
Yeah. Jeez. You basically become Oogie Boogie.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And the main character figures this out and he just scrambles to, it's one of my favorite endings in a horror movie just because it's so haunting. Scrambles to a payphone and he's screaming at the cable people, turn off the commercial, please. Please turn off the commercial. That's all I'm asking. They turn it off. Okay, cool. The kid reaches up, switches the channel. It's on another channel. He's like, it's on another channel. You got to stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. He screams, stop it. And the movie ends there.
Holy crap.
Stonehenge is involved at one point.
When I first saw that, I just went, what the fuck?
And Michael Myers is briefly in it because technically the first movie is a movie in that, in this, on the screen in the background of one time.
Halloween's confusing.
Halloween is very confusing.
Okay.
I thought about a couple of, like, more of the smaller, like, indie darlings that I really liked. Recently I watched a movie called The Rental. Dave Franco actually directed it. That kind of is like a slasher, but it's more of like this, like, group of people have a rental, and a guy, there's a lot of like drama between these two couples that are happening, and on in the backdrop, someone is killing people.
Jesus Christ.
I haven't watched that, but there's a YouTuber I like named Ryan Hollinger. Hey, if you want a honorable mention, just the entire YouTuber Ryan Hollinger. Who does videos on horror movies, and he did a video on that, so I watched it, so I know what happens.
But. Mm-hmm. And outside of other horrible mentions, honorable mentions, in this horrible spooky season, mentions. We have horrible mentions. I mentioned them earlier, The Collector and The Collection and The Collector, those two movies. If you're not into the kind of the torture porn, these are maybe also a little bit on the extreme, but they're very gory.
This is soft torture porn.
They are kind of in that way. They are very gory. I mean, a combine mows through a club in the second one.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
They are a little disturbing, but they are really good and with some incredible soundtrack pieces.
Incredible soundtrack. The Collection has one of the most satisfying endings I've ever seen in a horror movie.
It is so satisfying. So satisfying. But those are both a lot of it tradition. I was going to mention I did the Resident Evil games, but the Resident Evil book series by S.D. Perry are also one that I've read a lot around the Halloween season.
I didn't realize they had books.
Yeah, actually apparently really good.
Really good.
I've been meaning to read them.
They follow, basically each book follows the game, but there's an interlude book between each game that has new story content that is what is happening in between those time frames.
Interesting.
So they're really, really interesting books. I really, really like them. I wish they would have continued past Resident Evil Veronica, but Code Veronica, but they didn't. They didn't. So that's my honorable mentions.
Interesting.
Mason, what honorable mentions you got?
So I don't really have a lot of honorable mentions. I only have three. But just ones that I felt like mentioning. Thought about including like something from the Goosebumps franchise. But
Goosebumps books would have been a good one. Everyone
would. Yeah, but I couldn't really pin down like if I wanted to talk about like the books, the original show, or the movie. The first movie, which are like the three Goosebumps things that I've seen. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the new show. I haven't seen the new show, and I haven't seen the sequel to the.
I haven't seen the first movie, but I've seen the sequel.
What the hell?
Here's why. I worked at the theater when the second one came out. I didn't work at the theater when the first one came out.
Fair enough. I didn't realize we showed it.
Another honorable mention I had. You mentioned Goosebumps, but Tales from the Crypt.
Yes.
Awesome show with some really cool stuff. That was a show that absolutely, you know, one of those that I watched when I was a kid. Like I'd go over to a neighbor's house and I'd watch and it'd scare me. And then I'd come back and I'd embarrass. Why are you so scared? No reason. I didn't watch anything scary that I shouldn't have.
And then this.
Don't tell me to Jesus. Don't tell Jesus on me.
And this other one I had in my honorable mentions only because I only started watching this movie like recently, like only a couple years ago. I think if I had a couple more years of like knowing this movie, it probably would have ended up on my list. That's Trick or Treat.
Trick or Treat is very good.
Trick or Treat's a very,
very good one.
Up until recently, like a very underrated movie.
It has found a lot of audience, a lot of like popularity more recently, and it's gone from kind of like cult classic to more people are getting to know it, and that we maybe are moving towards the sequel, actually.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Maybe. It's not... The director keeps staying. Like, there's more actual...
Like, I'd take...
Mechanisms happening.
Yeah. I'd take a follow-up in, like, any form, really. Like, mm-hmm. like a follow-up graphic novel or...
Sam's gonna show up the next time that guy directs a Godzilla movie. Because he directed Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Yep.
Did he really?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, wow. What a jump.
It's like, oh, damn, I like that movie now.
I always liked that movie.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
I saw that in theaters. I really liked it.
My bad. I misinterpreted Mason's thoughts on that movie.
If you want to know, one of the on Letterboxd, one of the top 100 horror movies listed is Godzilla Minus One.
Oh, wow.
They list it as a really horror movie. Good. It's really good. I don't necessarily classify it as horror, but it is really good.
I can see an argument for it.
I can see it. It's more depressing than horrifying. Mm-hmm. But.
And then the other thing I had in my honorable mentions, I didn't end up putting it in my list only because, well, you brought up YouTube video, YouTube stuff earlier, and I was like, should I really put this on? Like, this isn't really like a well-made thing or anything. It just brings me a lot of joy. So, I couldn't justify putting it on my list. It's Markiplier's playthrough of Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
That's fair. Yeah.
That's kind of a yearly thing. I watched the whole thing, like all the games that he's mm-hmm. played. It's a long list at this point. There have been so many of them.
Any honorable mention of any person playing through, getting to play through PT before it was?
Yes.
That's always an enjoyable experience because that game, that playable trailer is. So many people are not prepared for that.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't think about that, but you're right. Holy crap. But yeah,
any honorable mentions, Thomas?
You already brought up the Friday the 13th movies and the Collector / the Collection. Those are all my honorable mentions. We already did Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. That is something I love. Any old Universal Monster movie, I'll be honest, I can watch any of them and kind of get into the Halloween vibes. Even if they're not great, I can put mm-hmm. them. So, The Bone Man's Daughter is a very creepy novel that I read a long time ago. I gave it up. I've never read it since, but so I couldn't obviously make it a Halloween tradition, but it's just one of those things that stuck in my head. Like, that's a good-ass creepy book. Speaking of books, Green Lantern, Blackest Night.
Yep.
Fuck you, it rules.
I almost put Blackest Night down. Yep, it is really good. Really, really good. And has a lot of horror aesthetics to it.
Mm-hmm. And Mason brought up Trick or Treat as his underrated classic that's been getting a lot of appraisal lately, minus Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Number one. My number one's a weird one. And it's simply that I don't think this is the best film. I don't think this is something that, you know, that is like going, it always holds the test of time to people now watching it. But when I watched this movie, let me tell you, I could not stop thinking about it to a point that it scared me of every noise, every little thing going on, everything happening. That's Paranormal Activity.
Mm.
And while I think the franchise kind of gets a bad name because, boy, they went off the rails at this point.
How many entries are they in at this point?
It also started the found footage genre, mm-hmm.
which, boy, did that go off the rails.
Like fucking horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I bitched about humans being mass killers. Fucking give me 80 of those. I will suck
before
their
we
dick
got bad.
Before I take a fucking bad found footage movie.
Yep, but Paranormal Activity was one of those movies, and again, when it hit theaters, it was one of those movies that either you loved it or you hated it. There was very few in between on that movie. You either came out saying, this is the worst movie I've ever seen, or you're like, oh my gosh, this is a masterpiece. I leaned more to the masterpiece.
I was about to say.
It was one of those movies
I lean more towards it sucks. Fuck this movie. I put it on my list as a troll. My number one is the Wishbone episode where they took over Goosebumps.
Unironically, the Wishbone Halloween episode where they do The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, really, really good. Should have been on my honorable mentions. I should have mentioned that because Legend of Sleepy Hollow also should have been on my honorable mentions. Anyway, Paranormal Activity. It's the way it effectively did demonic horror. We've seen a lot of really good demon-possessed movies, The Conjuring, things like that, have done a really good job. There are other things on of it. But the way they did it without ever showing you anything. You are scouring the background. Something moves. Oh, something's a little different. You know, oh my gosh, what is that? What's that sound? What's everything? And when I watched the first time, I came home and I was laying in my bed, and I was living with a couple of friends at the time and in a decently small room, and I'm listening up and the air conditioner goes on and it had this weird extra like clicking noise that night, like something I never noticed. And I'm like, what is that? And I just sat there laying and thinking. And again, I understand that like the movie, a lot of other found footage, a lot of other stuff has come out. Watching it now, maybe it's not as effective to those people who didn't watch there. But in theaters that first time, I don't think I've ever had an experience quite like that movie. Saw it four times in theaters. I was blown away by this movie. This was kind of like, oh wow, this is what's going to change horror. It did. Not for the better.
Well, you weren't wrong.
Yeah.
It led to some of my favorite shots in any film. Paranormal 3, there's a shot where they mount a camera on a fan and it's going back and forth. And back and forth. And on one side you have the person, I think she's at like a fridge or something, and then it goes back and it looks like a little kid in a sheet. And then back to her, and then back to the little kid in the sheet. Back to her, and then it comes back, the sheet drops and there's nothing there.
Ooh.
It's such an effective horror. I wish Paranormal 3 had ended better, because that movie, the first half is really good. But the original Paranormal Activity, it's unlike any movie I had ever watched at the time. It had to be my number one.
That's interesting. I don't think I've ever seen any of the Paranormal Activity.
Well, the fourth one uses the Kinect.
Oh my god. Oh, God.
It's the scariest one.
Yeah, because the Kinect is useful. Ooh. Every house has a Xbox Kinect.
God, you want to date your movie immediately. Throw in an Xbox Kinect. My lord.
It's almost as dateable as putting in a Wii U. Oh, the movie aged to dust.
Poof.
Look, this Game Gear is really going to take off. Let's put it in the movie. What?
That's the last crusade.
All right, that's my one. Mason, what is your number one?
So I went with the whole entire show for my number one. And
ooh, okay.
When this show originally came out,
Scream the TV show.
No, it's not Scream the TV. Although I think this came out around the same time, actually. Maybe I'll have to look that up. But when this show first came out, it was in 2016. And everybody I knew absolutely loved this show. And everybody at the time was nuts about this show. And I think people still are. Whenever stuff comes out with it, people still are crazy. But maybe not as much as they used to. But everybody I knew loved this show. And I ignored it because it was a horror thing. I'm not really into that. And I even at the time, didn't really watch TV shows. But then when the second season watched, when the second season came out, I decided, all right, I'll try watching it. So I watched an episode, and then another, and then another, and then eventually I got through the whole season. Then I got through both seasons. It was the first show I had ever binge-watched, and to this day, I think still the only one. And now, whenever another season comes out of it, I make time to binge-watch it, especially around spooky season, and that's Stranger Things.
Yeah, I knew it. The moment you said 2016, I go, oh, he's doing Stranger Things. Yeah, it's Mason. That makes sense. I know there's lots of Stranger Things fans. I've seen the first three episodes, and I have never gone back to watch them anymore.
Ah, man, you gotta get back in there.
I'm not a huge fan of the genre.
the Super 8 genre.
I was Super 8 genre.
You love Ghostbusters Afterlife. You love that sort of genre, so like that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It played right into what I like, and I didn't even really know I liked it at the time, and I think that is what started it was Stranger Things.
Ah, Finn Wolfhard making.
well, it helped.
But Stranger Things is Netflix has a few phenomenons they've made. A few.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of them.
Yes.
Now, I think the gaps in between the seasons have not helped it. And
But the thing is, they're so long, but then when they actually do come out, you realize, oh, it's because I put so much time into them.
Also, the actors are doing other things and schedulings and all those things. But one of the more interesting facts around the last season of Stranger Things is it dropped right around when WandaVision dropped, the first episode of WandaVision. And they tracked the internet talking about Stranger Things versus WandaVision. And of course, at the beginning, Stranger Things was everything. But because it's the Netflix model, by the second weekend, nobody was talking about Stranger Things online. While WandaVision just took off and went to Wayward Heights. Because it's the Netflix model, I don't think Stranger Things has ever actually become the height it could have truly been if it had the buildup that a lot of other episode week-to-week shows have.
I guess that's.
But that's the Netflix model, you know. Mm-hmm. The binge model's always going to kind of have that. That even Netflix is now going, what if we break every show into like six parts?
And I don't think that's any like any flaw of the show.
No, that's not like, a flaw of the show.
That's a flaw. That is a Netflix.
That is me critiquing Netflix.
Stranger Things. That is not Stranger Things.
Sick. No. And the brothers who have done the Stranger Things, every actor they cast has been able to go on and be bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. They have a good eye for talent.
They have a good eye of like bringing mm-hmm. back like mm-hmm. actors from the like.
There are people now that know Sean Astin from Stranger Things and not from all the other good things that Sean Astin did.
But like him and like Cary Elwes is in the third season, mm-hmm. I think, and he's really good in that.
Cary Elwes is always good.
And but Winona Ryder, for crying out loud, like.
You mean Spock's mother? In J.J. Abrams' 2000 Star Trek.
Whoosh! That went right over my head. I didn't know that.
Anyway.
But yeah, I love
this. I have very little to add because I just have not watched Stranger Things. It was something that I thought about watching, watched a little bit of it, and never really went back.
But real quick side thing before we move on. So I binged the first two seasons, got really into the show, started getting extremely excited for season three, and I was gonna binge that when it came out. And then I realized that I was going to be at church camp when it dropped, and I was so, so upset. And then, like, the day that I got home from church camp, I put all my stuff away, and I was like, right, time to binge Stranger Things.
And then I had to go back to church camp.
No, I came back, and I binged the entirety of season three.
Yeah, sounds about right. Stranger Things is a thing.
That's both of Mason's top two I can't say shit about, because I've never seen them.
Yeah,
Stranger Things isn't a hatred, though. I have a grudge against because it's a Scream I have a very unfair grudge against. I'm going to be clear about that.
Right.
Stranger Things I've just never watched.
That's fair.
It's one of those things where people are like, oh, you'll love it. And I'm like,
I'm sure, honestly, there's things that I probably would really love about it. I guarantee you.
The most that I've ever been interested in this is like people are like, oh, there's a shootout in season four that's so violent and made me sick. And I'm like, ooh.
It wasn't that violent. Anyways.
What? People hype something up on the internet that wasn't maybe? But.
Anywho's.
All right, Thomas, take us home. Number one.
Well, Sean did a horror movie. Mason did a big horror series. I'm going to do a kids movie.
On brand.
A kids movie from a series no one remembers. You probably know what it is just from me saying that. So, I love me some superheroes, especially when I get on a kick like I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And the main hero that we can discuss this guy for hours, we probably will discuss him for hours now and in the future, is Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was making this list, I'm like, do I want this to be my number one? Because, full disclosure, my mind's probably going to change in the future. I don't know if this will be my number one for a while.
But on this date and time.
This is what my number one is. The incredibly underrated 2004 direct-to-DVD animated movie, The Batman versus Dracula.
Yeah, you've been talking about how good that is.
Yeah, you have. Yes. Mm-hmm. I completely.
Every time I've like jokingly brought it up, you're like, unironically, it's really good.
Because it is.
I completely forgot about that.
The Batman versus Dracula. Free on Tubi for some reason. Why on Tubi? I don't know.
The answer is David Zaslav.
Because David Zaslav is Zaslaving all over the place.
And did you just use my name as a verb?
Indeed I did.
Anyways.
Now quit. The Batman versus Dracula, is it the best movie ever made? No. But it just hits all those right notes for me. It is Batman, a character I love, one of my favorite characters of all time, taking on Dracula. How can I not think that's the sickest shit ever?
Because you love the monster movies. I love the
Universal Monsters today. They are another one of my favorite things, period. I'm so pissed off the Dark Universe started badly and just bombed hard. God damn it. My honorable mention, the Dark Universe that should have been.
We could have had. But Which time when they've tried to make the Universal Monsters all team up?
All six. There's been like six false starts to that son of a bitch.
Oh, man.
For a different podcast, we'll talk about the not Wolfman in the upcoming Wolfman. But back to Batman and Dracula.
Back to the Batman versus Dracula. It's just a movie that I saw as a kid because I said several times, the Batman was my show as a kid. That was the one I watched. Is it the best show? No, we all know it's bad. BTS. They saw that as an abbreviation. I was like, well, what does that sound like out loud? Bad. All right. But yeah, the Batman was my BTS. The Batman was my show as a kid. And that meant that this trailer was on one of the DVDs I had. And it had one line specifically from the narrator that always stuck in my head because it's the rawest shit ever, where it's like, the Dark Knight finally meets the Prince of Darkness. And it's like, isn't that just so fucking perfect?
I love it.
And on top of that, it gets away with a lot for a kid's movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're able to get away with it through some clever censoring, but they show death. They show a lot of blood. Like, a shit ton of fucking blood. And they show decomposing corpses. They get away with a lot for a kid's movie. And I'm not saying that's good, or like that makes it good,
mm-hmm.
but it's impressive what they get away with, and they still manage to deliver a pretty good story.
And still a pretty good movie, from what I understand, that kids can still enjoy, despite having some of the much more mature things.
Oh, yes. I watched it a lot as a kid. Is that why it's on this list? Probably.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I mean, that's kind of what we're celebrating is like traditions and things we've done and a lot of things.
That's true.
It is perfect for it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is my number one, The Batman versus Dracula.
I love it. I think these have been really interesting lists. They led to a quick, long conversation about slashers, but I don't know. Outside of doing it on the how the bleep we'd fix the slasher universe,
slasher movies, probably like the most eclectic all of our lists.
But this has been a really interesting list because again, I think
Mason said he liked the thing, and I'm like, how dare you?
Halloween is one of those holidays that has a lot of different possibilities of genres and different things to come together for it. Whereas, like, you know, a lot of the other holiday movies, like Christmas, you know what a Christmas movie is going to have to.
It's going to be Die Hard.
Yeah, it's going to be Die Hard. Or, no, it's going to be Gremlins.
No, it's both goaded.
Yeah. But, you know the beats of a Christmas movie for the most part. Someone has to learn the true meaning of blank, Christmas. Nobody's really having to learn the true meaning of Halloween because there's just a lot that can go into it. Mm.
I swear to God, again, I'm sorry, this is a tangent at the end of this episode, but I swear to God there is an episode of a TV show, I forget what it is, but it's like, you have to learn the true meaning of Halloween.
But there's so many things you can watch on, and this as we end this episode here, there's so much you can watch. We didn't even mention tons of things that I've watched before. You know, Courage the Cowardly Dog didn't come up, and that whole show could have been.
Oh, yeah, that whole show.
You know, so like, I think this is... You know, you can watch so many different things. There are so many noirs that we love that could fit in Halloween. Slashers, true-on horrors, demon, witchcraft, whatever you need, or Scoobert do.
Hell, you brought up Batman earlier. The Batman technically takes place on Halloween.
The Batman Arkham Knight technically takes place on Halloween.
There is a two-parter animated Batman movie called The Long Halloween.
There is also Batman meets Scooby-Doo. You could get both right there. Halloween is full of everything. And thank you all for joining in, for listening. Give us an email. Let us know what you think. What's your top Halloween movies? Or games or books, music. Whatever you like to do on Halloween, we would love to hear. That is bleepyouplaying@gmail.com. That's bleepyouplaying@gmail.com. Or, you know, subscribe over to our Patreon. Make us watch or play some fun Halloween games or watch some movies. You can do that subscribing on our Patreon, patreon.com/whatthebleep. Subscribe to our super bleephead tier. And when we're back next time, it's season 4.
Yee. Yeah.